talk about bias cream dosing. I'm Dr. Valerie Davidson from Progress Your Health.
And I'm Dr. Robert Mackey from Progress Your Health. So we have a community launch coming up here pretty soon.
Very exciting. About, I guess, I don't know when this video will come out, but it'll come out. We're launching on the 11th, August 11th.
So. Yeah. So this one will probably be out the week prior. So today is what, August 3rd today. So we got like, can't believe we got 8 days left. Got a lot to get done in that amount of time. So the anxiety is going up a little bit, but still very excited, making sure that it's everything is all finished. It's sort of been a work in progress for kind of a long time. We wanted to do this for a number of years, and it just felt like now is the right time to launch it.
Yeah, so if you're interested in the community, will there be a link below?
Yeah, so in this episode for sure, if you're on YouTube, down below in the comments, you'll see a link that'll take you to, by the time this gets posted, either be a link to the wait list, or it might actually be to the website itself. You know, progressyourhormones.com is the website or the URL for the actual community. And we're really excited about it. I think it should be a really fun experience, both for us to be able to connect with people. We do have on our wait list, we do have people like kind of all over the world. Not a lot, but there's one from Mexico, there's one from Norway, there's one from
Australia,
right? There's a few from Canada. I think that really, if we can have a sort of a global impact, and connect with women around the world, I think that would be really, really exciting stuff. So, like I said, if you're interested, the link is down below in the description. I have to laugh a minute for a second. So on our last one we did, right?
You watched it, yeah.
Yeah. So so we have like this new little setup here. So we have a camera there, which is on you. There's a camera there on me and a camera there. So a lot of podcasts do these multi-camera things these days. And I keep putting my hand in the view of yours. I apologize for that. And yours, the last video we did, which was the one that just got published probably a couple of days ago, it looked a little cloudy.
Yeah, we thought maybe it was the phone, like something was wrong
trying to figure out the settings. And we had a light next door, like right over there, like off camera. The first one we did was on camera, then we turned the light off. And then it turned out that it was the lens was just dirty.
Yeah, I just cleaned the lens and it cleared right up. So somebody's dirty finger was on.
My big sausage fingers. I must have put my thumb or my finger on there, and it kind of blurred the lens. And you just cleaned it off, and it was like crystal clear. So that was usually they say, what do they say? Usually the simplest answer is the right one, right?
Operator error.
I'm not even sure why we figured that out, but nonetheless, hopefully it looks a little bit better because now. I can see in the monitor off camera there that it looks crystal clear. So, all right. Well, why don't we get into Lindsay's question? This one was also submitted to Ask the Doctor website up at the top. It just says Ask the Doctor. You put in your name and email, and we read it on the podcast. So why don't you go ahead and read her question?
And we always change everybody's names, but so we changed her name to Lindsay. So the question is: I utilize biased cream 80-20 ratio. 0.75 milligrams one time a day. I do this for 6 days a week, and I've obtained through a compounding pharmacy, and I've been taking HRT approximately 10 months. Is there somewhere to purchase prescriptions of biased with a safer base, such as an organic oil, that is available to deliver the appropriate amount of estriol and estradiol? I'm located in Pennsylvania. You both often talk about prescribing hormones based on symptoms rather than just relying solely on blood tests. I wonder what levels of estriol, estradiol, estrone should be in the blood test results to indicate if these levels are high enough for brain and heart protection. Thanks, and very much enjoy your informative podcasts.
Yeah, so there's sort of a lot there. She's talking about she actually gave us her dose. So gave us ratio 80-20 and the dosage. That's fantastic. She asked about the base, and she wants to know what the blood level should be. Where do you want to start with this one?
Well, probably the dosing, the 80-20 ratio. So 80-20 ratio of A biased is 80% estriol combined with 20% estradiol. So that's the kind of the first part there, and that she's only doing it 6 days on, but just once a day, and then taking, it looks like she's taking 1 day off. So usually when I do, when we prescribe biased in our experience, or, you know, my experience clinically, is I usually do it twice a day because the biased doesn't have a very long lifespan in the body. So the bioidentical hormones are the best hormones in the, you know, in the world other than your own that you were producing prior. But at the same time, it just doesn't have a lot of longevity. Yeah. So I always do it twice a day. And I usually don't have people take a day off. I mean, sometimes some practitioners might do that to help with liver detox, to get the estrogen metabolites out of the system by giving a, you know, a little bit of a hormone vacation. But there's a lot of things you can do with supplementation and lifestyle to be able to do that without having to take that 1 day off.
Well, in her dosing, she has here listed at 0.75 milligrams. That's an extremely low dose of biased. Mm-hmm. It's not even 1 milligram, and she only does it one time a day. Now, later in the question, she asks about what blood levels. Now, we do blood testing all the time. We think that blood testing is important to monitor. I think what she's referring to, what I've said in the past, is you treat the patient, not the blood test. Mm-hmm. Right? So you design or you determine a prescription for someone based on their symptoms, but you are still making decisions. The lab work is still there to help you sort of guide and help you come to those determinations, especially if it's thyroid, certainly with hormones. Now she asked a little bit about what that proper blood level should be. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, usually with blood testing, I mean, there is urine testing, there's saliva testing, but blood testing is probably the most accessible for most women in, mm-hmm. you know, in our country, or probably in the world as well, is doing the blood test. Sometimes I'll test for estrone. I don't necessarily test for estriol because, you know, I'm actually more looking at that estradiol level. I always test that estradiol level, and I want to see where that level is at. Of course, like you said, we want to take into consideration the patient's symptoms and what their acute goals are, whether it's hot flashes, libido, sleep, mood, you know, their waistline. And then we want to think about those long-term goals, like what Lindsay's referring to here, for the bones, for the heart, for the brain. So we're taking all that into consideration. But like you said, with the blood tests, I like to do the estradiol. I know that you do the mm-hmm. estradiol. And I would say, you know, I want to, like you said, we want to take in the consideration of the patient. But at the same time, if someone's doing a static dosing where they're doing the same estrogen or biased every single day, they're not changing that dose, they're not doing the rhythmic dosing, on a static dosing, I don't want that estrogen to go over 100.
Right.
Just because that's just too much of a load of our estradiol. So checking the estradiol level, I don't want that estradiol level to go over 100. So that way.
And why is that?
I feel like that's just too much of a load of estradiol in the system, especially for the estrogen sensitive tissues like the breast tissue, if they have a uterus, the endometrial lining mm-hmm. of the uterus, the uterine lining. So I just feel like that's a, you know, that might be a little bit too much. And then maybe at that point we might, if somebody needed that, you know, higher levels of estradiol, because some people say, oh, I feel so much better when my estradiol's higher. That's when you switch to the rhythmic dosing.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I mean, estrogen is what makes a woman a woman. The more estrogen she has, the better she feels. That's why when a woman is in menopause and her blood level is less than 30, they don't feel very good.
Yeah. So that's the opposite end, like you were mentioning, mm-hmm. is under 30.
Yeah. Sorry, a little flat spot
sorry.
There. So, okay. So
I interrupted.
No, that's okay. So you don't want it to go too high, not over 100. Like you said, somewhere between 40 to 60, maybe 70 if you can get it. At a 0.75 milligram, she's not going to get anywhere close to that.
No, and not once a day.
Yeah, not once a day. Mm-hmm. So if you take it once a day, and so our default is always in the morning, 2 clicks in the morning. If you're using a TopiClick, 2 clicks in the morning, 2 clicks in the evening, because what you use, what you apply in the morning gets you through the day, and what you apply in the evening gets you to the following morning. So you're sort of intending to sort of build off the previous dose. If you're taking it once a day, that hormone's all gone by the next time you apply it. So you're starting over every 24 hours in a sense.
Yeah, so it looks like she's doing 0.75 milligrams once a day. I imagine that's probably in the morning. What would be interesting with Lindsay, because this is where taking into consideration the symptoms or treating the person, mm-hmm. is let's say she puts on that 0.75 milligrams in the morning. Great, okay, you know. Like you said, it's not a very high dose, but everybody's different. Some people are more sensitive. I would wonder how she sleeps at night. If she's saying she's getting hot flashes and night sweats, then we absolutely do know that that estrogen is out of her system and it's nothing.
Yeah.
Some people will take it at night. So let's say she was taking it at night and then she just, then during the day when that estrogen's out of her system, the bias, she probably would feel like, oh, I feel like brain foggy. She may not even get hot flashes during the day, but that lack of estrogen during the day would be more like brain fog and fatigue and lack of motivation, trying to get the words out, memory. Right. So it's interesting what she would feel like after about 12 hours of applying that, that bias, because it's probably out of her system, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And especially taking a day off, then your levels are really, I mean, one day without any hormones, certainly 24 hours, a whole day without it, and it's really dropping down to, you know, less than 30. Now, what about the brain heart protection, that type of stuff? Where do you think that number needs to be to offer those types of extended benefits as women, you know, get into their, you know, 70s and 80s?
Yeah, no, I would definitely say, so let's say you took your biased cream, so you apply your biased cream transdermally, and then you go and get your blood work done like around 4 to 6 hours later, because you don't want to put it on, you don't want to get your blood work done right after you applied your cream, because then it'll look, the levels will look falsely elevated. So you would definitely apply it, wait, you know, like 4 hours, 5 hours, have your blood test to see how much you're absorbing and see what that level is. Is I definitely, like you said, you like it over 30, we want it over 30, don't want it over 100. For that protection, I find kind of more around that 40 to 60 level seems to be pretty good, especially closer to about 60. But they also know it too, like, gosh, you know, when my estradiol level is at 60, I feel like my brain is, you know, working. The words come out easier. I can remember things. I have that clarity. So it kind of goes between, like you said, the lab results and what the patient, you know, perspective is.
Yeah, there's one thing with bias, especially with a dose like this, especially with how she's taking it, like I said, one time a day, it's going to be real challenging to get those blood levels to cooperate. They're just, it's just going to perpetually be low all the time. You know, so, and the dosing, the dose itself, you, I mean, starting there at a 0.75, she's only been on it for 10 months, you know, but now there's that, you know, titration that sort of needs to happen a little bit. Now, one thing we don't do is we don't chase the numbers, right? We don't try to intentionally inflate the blood level as long as symptoms are in a good spot. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because I've had patients before that get really kind of fixated on their numbers and they're not realizing, well, looking at your lab test, you got your blood test at 9:52 in the morning and this other one you got at, you know, 1:05 in the afternoon. There's going to be some differentiation there. So you're right, not just chasing the blood levels. It's really about the symptoms, but then having that objective data. You know, we do blood work all the time. I do feel like it's really important when you're doing HRT dosing with somebody is you want to do that blood work, because I will say, you know, we've been doing this for 20 years, but I've had patients, we'll be talking and I'm thinking one thing. I'm thinking, oh yeah, I got to do this. I know what this is. And then we do the blood test and I'm like, oh my goodness, it was something totally different. It was about their adrenals, not their hormones, or it was about their blood sugar and not their adrenals. So having that information is really important.
But lab testing also too, we want, and I think doctors do the same thing, we put 100% faith in those numbers. Like those numbers are completely accurate every single time. And you've seen as many lab tests as you and I have, and probably every other doctor for that matter. And you know that sometimes those numbers just make no sense whatsoever. Okay, there's no reason for it. And all of a sudden someone's number just is either really high or really low. You know, of course you have to, you know, repeat it. It's maybe a second time, maybe even a third time. You sort of average those numbers and you toss out the one that doesn't make any sense. So you can't put all your stock into what the numbers show. The numbers are there. The blood levels are there to sort of guide decision making. But at the end of the day, you use your clinical skills based on the patient's symptom picture, and you're able to come up with some good decision making there. Labs are important, but at the same time, they don't always tell you the truth. Would that be fair? Would you agree?
Yeah, no, like you're putting it all into one picture. Like I had a patient the other day and her cortisol was really high, like really high, like outside of the reference ranges, which the reference ranges are ridiculous. So, but it was really high. And I asked her, I go, did they have to stab you a couple of times? Was it really stressful? what was going on. And I think she was stressed out because her son had to, like, think he got his driver's license and he was driving around by himself or something like that. I'm like, okay, that could be stressful, but, you know, maybe it is that, or maybe it's not. It could be that your body is overproducing, you know,
sure.
cortisol.
Sure.
Let me retest this. So we're in the process. This was just like day before yesterday. So we're in the process of retesting that so that we can see if that's accurate. I've seen other people where, you know, their cholesterol just looked really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, and then they'll say, oh, well, you know, I went on vacation prior to that. And I'm like, that might not be your true accuracy. So,
or they ate a meal right before, yeah. you know, they're mm-hmm. supposed to do it fasting. Now their triglycerides are high yeah. or their blood glucose mm-hmm. is really high. Yeah. The brain, heart, bone protection does come up a lot. You know, this is a thing that women are very much concerned about, and rightly so. On another episode a while back, we had talked about, there was a study, I think, out of Europe that came out either at the end of last year or the beginning part of this year, 2025, that said that, to your point, that an optimal sort of blood level for the brain, bone protection, heart protection is roughly about 60 nanograms per milliliter.
60.
Which is sort of where your target is. Dosing wise, to get someone to 60, right, again, you're not going to get there at, you know, 1 milligram or 0.75 milligrams. That dose is going to have to be, and like you said, to your point as well, she's going to probably have to take it twice a day to be able to, you know, to be able to push it up that high. Again, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And then we'd want to know what her progesterone dose was, what her progesterone mm-hmm. levels are. Does yeah. she have a uterus? You know, because if you have a uterus, you don't want to take too much estrogen without enough progesterone to protect the uterine lining.
Right.
So there's,
and that's why you don't, with any kind of static dosing, you don't want that number over 100, which we see women that are on the patch and their numbers seem like they're always over 100. What are your thoughts about that?
You know, the patch has a specific patented delivery system, so when you put it on, I do find that if they just put on their patch for that first part of that week, the levels are really high, but then when it's time to change, the levels are lower.
Yeah.
So
it's not really being delivered over mm-hmm. time. It's being delivered like almost seems like it's delivered all at once.
Yeah.
So you get this huge peak and then it sort of drops off. What do they put it on two or three days? Every
yeah.
3 days?
Yeah, twice a week.
You know, so you get this bolus of estrogen and then it's sort of nothing, and then a bolus of estrogen, sort of nothing. What are your thoughts when you get a blood test back and their level is 100, 125?
We got to reduce it down. And, you know, and I don't do the patch that much.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like, you know, if somebody has the accessibility to be able to use a compounding pharmacy, fantastic. But I'm really thrilled that hormone replacement itself is so much more accessible than it was,
oh my God,
gosh,
yeah.
like 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I mean, we've been doing this for 20 years. I mean, we've seen it all. And it's so nice to see that people's eyes are opening, physicians'
yeah.
eyes and ears are opening, and they're open to this. So I know a lot of
women. Well, I think women are sort of driving the yeah. bus on that one, though, because
and
they
always have been.
Yeah, well, of course they have. But now with social media and there's so much, so much attention surrounding it. So doctors are sort of forced to have to, you know, adapt to it mm-hmm. because women are sort of demanding that they want some help for these things that, you know, they were not really sure how to deal with.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying in your point to the patch is that some women may only have availability of just the patch.
Of course,
they might
yeah,
not
yeah.
have the accessibility of a compounding pharmacy
right, right.
or a practitioner that knows how to do an estriol, estradiol.
Yeah.
So the fact that just
or rhythmic dosing.
Yeah, or rhythmic dosing. But if they do, just because more women can have access to the patch and maybe Prometrium and, you know, mm-hmm. progesterone, I think that's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. giving people options, mm-hmm. right? There never used to be that many options. And now, 2025, you know, maybe accessibility and, you know, insurance coverage and some of those things, maybe not as good as it could be. but there is options though, right? You know, for some that doesn't tolerate this, now there's another some things to think about depending on what their goals are, what they're trying to accomplish, both in the short term, symptom management, long-term prevention, you know, osteoporosis, you know, Alzheimer's, dementia, cardiovascular risk. You know, that's going to be a continuing question over, you know, that we're, as practitioners, we need to, you know, keep learning and keep understanding on how we can best support our patients over a long period of time. Now she does make one, she had one question there about bases in there. What do you think about what's the optimal base, or is there any oils you can use for base?
Well, you probably know this answer this question, you know, just as much as I do, is everybody's different on what base you're going to use. Some mm-hmm. people are really sensitive. I've had people have allergic reactions to certain bases and other people that don't. But with a compounding pharmacy, so, you know, for Lindsay, they can really do any kind of base mm-hmm. fit for you. Like I've had women, you know, VersaBase is probably one of the most common that I use right. and tolerable. That's what I use, is a VersaBase estradiol cream for my rhythmic dosing. So, and that's, and granted, I have no allergies. I could probably put anything on there and it'd be fine. But it's, you know, it's a very clean, nice way to absorb. So most of the time I have women on the VersaBase. But I've had other women where we've had to, you know, change the bases. I've had other women where we've done almond oil, olive mm-hmm. oil bases. Really, a compounding pharmacy should have the availability to be able to do anything. And I have certain compounding pharmacies that I work with that I'm like, okay, we've got to do an almond oil base on this one. We've got to do a VersaBase on this one. And we've got to do, you know, an olive oil, you know, kind of, you know, base on that. Now, the thing with the oils, like, I understand, I like that Lindsay wants to do things organic. I mean, absolutely. The last thing you want to do is think you're doing something helpful, but you're putting, you know, toxins in you. But oils are a little different than the cream base because you do have to really rub that in. Yeah, like, yeah. And you got to wait. Don't put on your pants. You just got to wait.
And it could feel a little greasy there yeah. for a while because it doesn't absorb
in
very
well.
Don't
touch anything. You know, don't let anything touch it because you don't want to get it on any people or any, you know, any objects. So I will say that the oils can be a little bit of kind of a pain because you got to wait for that to, you got to really rub that in. Same with the cream. Sometimes women are like, oh, I got to really – you know, put that cream on, but it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah,
right?
No. Now that's why when we put our prescriptions together, we always do a half a gram twice, or two clicks, which is a half a gram twice a day. That half a gram tends to be a pretty reasonable amount of cream. You're not having to lather up your skin with a whole bunch.
Yeah, like doing a full gram. Yeah, yeah. I should have brought a Toppy Click container so I could click it and show you.
We should just have them, little props.
I will bring that from
I'm the sure office, yeah. Most women that are watching, because it seems like the questions that we get are already using hormones, mm-hmm. so they already know what the the different devices are.
Even, sorry to interrupt, but even DMSO, like for men, sometimes men have really thick skin or maybe they've got a little bit of hair.
A lot of hair. I don't have any hair. I don't have any hair. I'm Finnish. I don't have any hair. I'm like, you know, I can't remember when I even start shaving. I think I was in my 20s when I start to shave on a regular basis. That's just, I guess, you know, Scandinavian sort of heritage. You just don't really grow. I could never grow like a full beard or a mustache. My dad could never do it either. Like he could never maybe get a little stubble, mm-hmm. you know, right? Like a really, you know, kind of a dirty, you know, dirty a stubble where it just looks a little messy, but could never grow a full beard. I can't grow a beard. I could let it grow forever and it only gets like a certain amount and that's it. I don't know.
Got lots of hair on top. to make up for it.
Yeah. At least I have it up there. I'm not losing it up there.
But for the fellas that might have hair or thick skin, I'll even have some compounding pharmacies put a little DMSO. I tell them, don't go and buy that and put that on your own cream. Like, don't mess with that. Let me have the pharmacy do a prescription where their cream, their transdermal, like testosterone cream, might have just a little DMSO to help that really permeate in there. Yeah. So really, you know,
don't buy it off of Amazon and do it. You know, you do it, get it through the compounding pharmacy. And for the men out there, if you did happen to do that, just be careful being around any kind of solvents or chemicals. Because DMSO pulls things into the skin, so you don't, you know, which is why you add it to the cream. But you want to be careful being around. You know, I always ask if you have any hobbies, if you're around any, literally any kind of, chemical solvents of any sort. You're working on engines a lot. You got, you know, grease all over your hands. You don't want to be putting DMSO on something like that.
No, just let the pharmacy do it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't be a guy that is around those types of things with mm-hmm. his testosterone cream. You wouldn't want to put DMSO in his cream because now you're going to potentially.
Well, couldn't he just go wash his hands? I mean, they should wash their hands after they do that anyway, right?
We're like simple creatures. We don't really pay a lot of attention.
But tell me you wash your hands after you apply your testosterone cream.
Well, of course. But all men, you know, you can't babysit them, right? You know, so you don't want to potentially do something that's why I just ask them, are you around any chemicals or solvents? And they're like, you know, first, are you hairy? No. How about the back of your knee? Back of your knee is usually pretty hair free. So if anything, the back of the knee is usually a good spot. That way they don't have to, you know, lather it into all that, you know, inner thigh leg hair. If that's only if they're around chemicals of any sort. Most people are not, but you know, some guys are. You know, they got some hobbies or maybe even around work or something like that. So, anyways, so anything else to say about Lindsay's question about dosing, about heart brain protection? Anything else? Any little tidbits to add?
Well, I would say just for Lindsay and anybody maybe in Lindsay's similar situation, is if you're concerned about the base, really talk to the compounding pharmacy. They should, and if that compounding pharmacy maybe is too, maybe smaller and maybe doesn't have as much variety there, there's lots of other compounding pharmacies that have a license in Pennsylvania that can do any kind of base that would fit for you. You know, so talk to your practitioner about that. But there's oils, there's creams. Like I said, the VersaPace is probably what she's on right now, which is really safe. I find it's very clean, but
common. I think pretty much most compounding pharmacies are going to use that base. I know there's one called Elements, I think. You know, there's a few other ones, but that's one. See, this is the benefit of compounding pharmacies, is they can tailor medication to the patient, mm-hmm. right? It gives the practitioner lots of options. It gives the patient lots of options because, you know, we're not all created equal. We all have our own different tolerance and sensitivities, and being able to adjust things like that, you know, to the individual, I think is a real privilege and a real benefit. So, you know, I mean, you and I pretty much, that's all we do is use compounding pharmacies because I think it's the right way to deliver medication to people. So hopefully that was helpful for Lindsay and everyone else listening. You know, keep working on that dose, you know, 0.75 milligrams. You know, that's not to make fun of the dose, but that dose isn't going to get you very far necessarily. So, you know, keep titrating it up. And if you have other questions, you can visit our website, Ask the Doctor, little tab, enter your name and email, or you can write your questions down below in the comments if you're on YouTube. And again, we have our community coming out August 11th, Progress Your Hormones community. A little nervous, but very excited about that. It should be really fun being able to connect with everybody and sort of diving in. So any final comments from you?
No, thank you, Lindsay, for writing. Thank you for everybody for writing your questions in. I appreciate that.
Okay. Until next time, I'm Dr. Mackey.
And I'm Dr. Davidson.
Take care. Bye-bye.